I remember I was witnessing at Cars Park years ago with our assembly. And we had an open air meeting. Sometimes we had baptisms down there. We take our baptisms out so that everyone can see them. And go out into the water while everyone's swimming around there. And they say, what's going on here? Can people come over? Oh, thanks for asking. What's going on here? And we have a little open air meeting, a little song. Difficult now, you have the rangers come along and say, move on, you're disturbing the peace. But we sing the songs of Zion. Someone would say, I'm going to be baptized, everybody, and this is my testimony. I've come to know the Lord. Someone would preach the gospel. Then we'd go down and there would be the baptism and people would gather around and we'd witness to them and so on. Oh, like New Testament times, you see. Yeah, we say, let's get the baptisms out of the chapels and out where the people can see them, the testimony. That's what happened in the early church, you see. They only had homes, yeah. If you're interested in archaeology, you'll find that the first church building that they've found, the first church building was 180 AD. First church building, 180 AD. And that was a house that had a meeting place attached to it and a baptismal bath. Yeah. And people used to say, "What do you? You don't have a right to come out here. That's the priest's job. This all should be done in the cathedral by the priest." And we say, "Yes, well, this is a cathedral, and it's got a big blue roof. You see it?" I said, "Do you know your Lord Jesus Christ that you sing hymns to and confess to? Where was he baptized?" "In the dirty river Jordan." Yeah. The concept of Christianity today is twisted. Anyhow, Haggai and Zechariah encouraged them to rebuild the temple. Let's have a look at something there in Haggai. Let's turn the page, please, and I'll just read the summary. Haggai, his book, page 26. Haggai delivered four messages to the returned exiles, each precisely dated. And we have the references there. Look, let's go down to his general message. Haggai and Zechariah were contemporary prophets to the returned exiles from Babylon. They were raised up by God to inspire a discouraged people to build the temple again. The return to rebuild the temple was a picture in miniature of what God will do again in the end times, of finally shaking all nations, restoring Israel, and returning to his rebuilt temple in the kingdom age to bless the world. Read the book of Haggai. It's not long. Two chapters. Okay? Two chapters. Go home and read it, please, this weekend. Two chapters. And that's what the message was. I wish we had time to have a look at Zechariah. But we've got to press on now. And it is the rebuilding of... This is where we've just been, folks. Remember here, Zerubbabel, Haggai and Zechariah. Short ministries, under 2 years. And now we're going down to this time here, Ezra and Nehemiah, and meeting Malachi for a little while. Things aren't going too good, you know. They did the right thing. They rebuilt the temple first. What's the first thing they rebuilt in the temple? Pretty close. Anyone else? The altar. They rebuilt the altar. And then they started the foundations. And they said, in Haggai, what's the use? What's the use of doing this? And it lay dormant for 15 years. And that's why God raised up Haggai and Zechariah. They got discouraged. But the Lord gave them his promises. He gave them his prophets. Now that was the temple. Now the next generation, the walls still hadn't been built. I was going to say they're pretty lucky, but I shouldn't use that word. God was watching over them because they were back under a foreign power that was favourable to them. So they must have said, we'll be all right here. We won't need our walls for protection. So they never tackled the walls. And 90 years later, someone came back to the capital city, and Nehemiah happened to be a cupbearer in the presence of the king. And Nehemiah said, how are things going? How are things going? And they told him the news of how things were going in Jerusalem, and he wept. And then he went to God in prayer. And then he had the courage to approach the king, which is something you don't do in the ancient Near East. Remember Esther? How Esther prepared herself? Yes. I will go, I will present my case. And that saved the nation of Israel in the time of Esther. Incidentally, the events of Esther occur between Ezra chapter 5 and Ezra chapter 6. The whole book of Esther occurs after chapter 5 and between chapter 6. But now in Nehemiah chapter 1, we find dear Nehemiah is going to say something about the work in Jerusalem for the post-exilic return. And he petitions the king. Verse 4, so it was when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the Lord God of heaven. Do you think he was really interested in the Persian Empire? Do you think Nehemiah was really interested in the Persian Empire? Do you think he was really interested in the king that he was serving? No, he was honourable. He did his job day by day. Where was his heart, brothers and sisters? In the purposes of God. His heart was in the purposes of God, the Lord's reputation. The Apostle Paul, quote in Romans, quotes a verse from the Old Testament prophets which says, the name of God is blasphemed by the Jew amongst all the nations of the world. That's how far they fell. And Nehemiah has a passion for the purposes of God. When's the last time you've asked how the work of God is going somewhere? How it's going? Whether it's in another city or another suburb or whether it's overseas. We have our missionaries. We want to know how things are going. We're there with you. We can't be there, but we are there with you by prayer. I like to view the throne of God as like a big satellite dish. There's my brother John Stolting, 1,500 miles up the Amazon for Jesus. He's been there for 40 years. Witnessing for the Lord through New Tribes Mission. I can't go there, but I can visit it by prayer. I go to the throne of grace. And that's a satellite dish, brother and sister. So I can touch where he's working via the throne of grace. Passion for what God's doing. We can't pray for all of the world. We can't support all of the missionaries and whatever. But we can have an interest in what God is doing, more so than our family, more so than our daily profession. Are you a Sunday Christian, just thinking about religious things and Christian things on Sunday, and on Monday, that's behind me. No, it's something that should follow us day by day, living for the Lord. I remember a dear brother, a fellow elder in our assembly many, many years ago, used to go down the south coast by train for preaching. And as he'd go down, you know, Sutherland and Loftus and Albion Park, that's where David's from here, Brother David, Albion Park, he down to Nambour, he used to say, I wonder what God is doing in this town. Isn't that lovely? I wonder what God's doing in this town. I wonder what his people are doing. Yes. Thinking about some priorities, you see, the things of the Lord.